Welcome to The Brains Behind It, the official podcast of brainhackers.com. The source for smart strategies to improve your life, one brain hack at a time. In this podcast, we talk to the leaders and innovators behind great organizations and find out the secret to their success. Here's your host, editor-in-chief of brainhackers.com, and two-time Guinness record holder for memory, Dave Farrow.
Hey there, Brain Hackers. Dave Farrow here. I got a Brains Behind It author series. I'm talking to a life coach, author Kevin Carton, and he's going to talk about how we build dreams. Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Okay, so tell me what the official title of this dream coach thing is, that you do.
Certified Dream Builder Coach. I take my clients through a program called the Dream Builder, which has been proven over the last 30 years, in which I feel so confident in delivering because I'm 25. I don't pretend like I have all the answers.
Yeah, I like that. And you know what? The funny thing is a lot of people who are 25 do pretend like they have all the answers and they don't. So I appreciate the humility. But more than that, though, what is who invented this system, this idea? How valid is it? Because I think you said before that it's a spiritual thing, but it has science. The reason why I wanted to bring you on is I want to make sure that everything that I present to people has scientific citation and yes, scientific basis to it. So tell us, pick that apart for us a bit.
Absolutely. So the creator of this, her name is Mary Morrissey, and she's at the top of the field in the personal development industry. She's good friends with Bob Proctor. She's worked with Les Brown, Wayne Dyer. Those are her closest friends. And so she created this over the last 30 years because she saw that there's a system, a way, a pattern of success that when you apply it into your life, then you can achieve any result that you want. And so there is some spirituality based in there because she has her background in ministry. She has her master's degree in counseling psychology, but she took this path because she saw that the way to help people was outside of the normal way that, say, like in psychology or counseling or anything like that. She spent years in that field, but wanted to bring people forward more than looking back at their past.
Okay, so hang on. So you jumped over a bunch of different things that I kind of want to pick apart here a bit.
Sure.
So first off, the very concept of self-help is the idea that we can help people. And I wanted to ask you about that approach to that, because a lot of people would say that, people can only help themselves, right? Self-help is the only help. There is no external force that can really change somebody who doesn't want to be changed. But what your thing seems to be, even though it's the whole like dream builder thing sounds kind of like, the old time, self-help style. I'd say essentially what you're doing is, setting goals, right? And planning a strategy for it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. The first part of that program is designing a dream. It's blueprinting a dream. Because just like if you want to build a dream house, you can't go to an architect and say, I love my dream house. I'd love a happy house. They're going to look at you like you're crazy. You need to have a specific design for it. And it's the same thing with our minds. Like when you have a clear vision, you literally see different opportunities. Like this is where I bring some of the science into it, is that our brain takes in 400 billion bits of information every second, but we're only consciously aware of 2,000 of those bits of information every second. So when you're clear about what you want, then you get to see different opportunities. Things that are right under your nose, you're able to actually access. Whereas otherwise, if you didn't have a vision, you wouldn't be able to see, and therefore you're stuck.
So this goes to the kind of the biblical style, the idea of when people with a leader without vision are lost, right? There's a lot of references in the Bible to having a vision, and of course it's logical. You're not gonna hit anything unless you aim for it first. Okay, so
absolutely,
Let's get into a bit of the strategy here, and tell me about the neuroscience behind this, the neuroplasticity. I've mentioned before to people that I was one of the people talking about neuroplasticity well before it was accepted by science. For a long time, I'm looking back a good 20 years, there was this idea of the hardwired brain. This is one of the reasons why, the belief that you have a blank slate when you're a kid, and at some point you become hardwired for something and then you're stuck. And this led to a lot of racist policies. The three strikes rule is still there. A lot of other things. You know, the belief that a certain type of people, a certain group, can be hardwired for violence or addiction or something, and you could just put them in a little box and say they will never change, and you can't do anything about it. We know scientifically that is completely wrong. Now, we know that they're perhaps very unlikely to change, but there's been, you know, tons of examples of people that have, you know, there's a lot of rehabilitation. There's a lot of people who have experienced trauma and go from post-traumatic stress to post-traumatic benefit, PTB, and things like that. So now we know there's kind of a big light at the end of the tunnel, although a lot of it's been hyped. We know that people can change. Tell me some of the neuroscience behind this this approach.
Sure. One of the studies I want to really highlight and hone in on is something that was studied by Dr. Joe Dispenza. I love his work. Mm-hmm. And there was this particular presentation he was doing, and he showed literally an example, a video of how neurons literally change their how they're wired together over time. And that is from a thought, from thinking a different thought in the same situation. And his example was, oh, like if your mother-in-law just always gets you mad, then if you think something different about your mother-in-law over time, it doesn't happen right away, which I think is one of the things that stops most people. It's like, I've been thinking positively for the past week. Why isn't my life changing?
Yeah, you know? It takes a little longer than that. So is it that people don't have very much of a long-term view? I mean, that's one of the principles of emotional intelligence, EQ, where you know, you can put off short-term gain for, you know, long-term results, and one of the biggest determinants of success in life. So is that the main problem?
I'd say one of the main problems, yes, long-term, but also the second main problem. I'm reading a book called Change or Die. And in that book, it's a fantastic book where they share, there's three main keys. One of the keys, which is why I do what I do as a coach, is having a support system. That's one of the huge keys that people are missing. Whether that's a coach, whether that's a program, whether that's a, you know, video series like this, where they tune into on a daily or weekly basis, it's something that they can come back to and have support, so that it's not like they're on their own. I feel like that's one of the big problems, is that there's like this syndrome called the Lone Ranger syndrome. It's like, I got to do it myself.
You know, well, so there is that kind of rugged individualism. But how do you also square that with the fact that a lot of times when you aim for some success, you're going to get a lot of people in your life that are counter to that? You know, people are very comfortable with you being a failure, quote unquote, right? And they get scared when you try to be ambitious, and they try to put you back into the box that they think that you are. It blew my mind and boggles my mind to this day why that actually happens. I don't practice that. I'm always happy for friends when they succeed. But I mean, you just have to take a look at a Facebook feed to see that the opposite is probably the norm.
Absolutely, it is. And I think that's just because of patterning. It's just someone's normal way of thinking. If they see someone else changing, then that's a reflection, a mirror. It's like, well, if they're changing, that means that I could probably change, because they're not anything different than me. You know, if it's your friend or family member, they've known you for so long. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you're a normal person. If you could change, then that must mean I can change.
Oh, yeah, and I'm a loser because I haven't changed now. Exactly. So what's wrong with me? Yeah, like, so if you're smoking right now, and you see a friend of yours that quit smoking, then you think, oh, my God, I'm a loser. And you have to either swallow that bitter pill of saying, I screwed up, I could be better, and I'm not. Mm-hmm. Or you have to somehow diss them and put them down and say, oh, they have it easy because their parents gave them a bunch of money, or they or they are this race or ethnicity or whatever, or like all the different reasons people come up with, you know, aside from the simple fact of, no, they decided to do something and they did it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So tell us a little about the strategy, about how you build the dream.
Sure. Yeah. It's very simple. It's deceptively simple, actually. Because it's something that I feel like some people have considered in their life, but haven't taken it seriously. Mm-hmm. And the simple, very simple question is, what would you love? Mm-hmm. Deceptively simple. Because notice this question is not asking, what do I think I could do? Or what does the economy say I can do? Or my education? Or my parents or anyone around me think I could do? That's everything of that, that's based on the past. because all of that.
So you've asked the right questions, you get a better answer, and you say, hey, not like, what do I think I'm capable of? What do I deserve? All that stuff, all that BS. It's what do I love first? Mm-hmm. And this is based on, and I've heard this a lot from people who, like, you know, believe in The Secret and things like that. And this goes back to, you know, Wallace Wattles, you know, you know, Think and Grow Rich and Napoleon Hill. And the basic philosophy is, although I don't know what evidence there is of this, but the belief is that you don't desire anything that you don't in some way have an ability to achieve. So if I want to be an amazing sports hero, well, that desire comes from some place, and I must have some ability to at least play sports on some level, you know, with that. And if you don't have that basic ability, that desire, you know, kind of goes together. I'm not sure if that's in everyone. You know, there's a lot of people who aspire to things, like, you know, there's a lot of people who will have a disability or something and aspire to, you know, something that they can't achieve. That's been, you know, very well known, but I found it to be true far more often than not, you know. Like, I do know somebody, I guess the reference I was making is I know somebody who was in a wheelchair and they aspired to basketball, and you know, of course everyone was saying, well, that's just not going to happen and everything. Mm-hmm. And now there are wheelchair basketball teams and they're very, very popular, and this guy happens to be incredibly good at it and one of the stars of it. But so I guess, like, every single time you're negative about that idea, there's somebody who's going to prove you wrong.
For sure. Yeah, there's examples all around that are just like the opposite of what people are like, oh, that's not possible.
Right.
You know, the impossible is, it's done often. Like, there's tons of examples. Like, one of them, like, being Roger Bannister, the man who broke the 4-minute mile, which scientists back in that day and age said it was literally impossible for the human body to run that fast, to break a 4-minute mile.
Yeah, there was all sorts of formulas about how they can't process oxygen, the lungs can't do this, and things like that.
Yeah.
And by the way, there was also, I believe there was an essay by 300 scientists saying Einstein was wrong at one time. There was an essay, there was a whole bunch of stuff we could get into all the times.
Oh, yeah.
That, there was a whole... there's a whole bunch of scientists paid for by the government back in the day. The Wright brothers were trying to create an airplane, and there's a whole bunch of people who were saying that heavier than light aircraft was physically impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about the Bernoulli effect and everything, but the problem is they didn't put speed under consideration. Once you put enough speed into it, boom, everything changes. And they didn't think of speed, right? So they thought, you know, materials will never be heavy enough for this breeze to do that. They were thinking more like kites than like motorized aircraft. But so it's amazing. So why do we do this as human beings? Why do we constantly underestimate ourselves? And we need a couple of people who are leaders who actually, you know, wake us up and make us look beyond.
I think it's just the human condition. It's because our brain is wired to go the path of least resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So we stay in what's comfortable, what we know, because especially when we grow up, you know, like, because when we were kids, like, we're okay with the mystery of life and things like being out there, and we get to be curious and fail and try things out. But once we grow up, it's like, these things are in a certain way.
But they're almost always wrong. Like, eventually, right? Like, in the short term, they're right. Like, I remember my dad telling me that, you know, when I first wanted to be an entrepreneur, that I have to get a factory job because that's where the future is. You know, and he worked in a factory. He's like, you got it. You got to start there and you'll work your way up. And like, that factory has been bought and sold. I could almost buy it now based on, you know, what I've developed and built as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You know, so like, when you talk about something like that, but it takes, you know, it takes a lifetime to prove something like that wrong. So it's crazy, you know, how people hold themselves back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so give me one tip here. We're reaching the end of the interview here. Give me one tip for people who, let's say they've drank the Kool-Aid, they believe that they can make something of their life, they can change their life. What's the one tip that you don't think they've heard already? You know, all that other, you know, stuff. What's something that's unique that they absolutely have to do today or every day to achieve what they want?
You have to, this is something that I'm even working with more consistently over time, is every single day. And maybe they've heard this before, but I wanted them to, I want you listening, to check in with yourself if you're actually doing this.
Mm.
Are you relating with the person that you want to be in your mind, imaginatively, on a daily basis.
Like so in other words, it's not a hypothetical, oh, I will be rich someday. I mean, you're relating as like, oh, that's me. I feel like I'm that person.
Exactly.
They are not a character in a story you're creating in your head. They are you in a memory or something more real.
Exactly. Forward memory in that way. Mm-hmm. Reminding yourself of who you're going to be and being so clear that it, like you said, like feeling, like it generates the feeling, because mm-hmm. that's the second step. It's thoughts cause our feelings cause our actions cause our results. It's practical. Mm-hmm. But most people don't do that on a daily basis, every day.
You know, a big thing changed for me income-wise tremendously when I did one different change to my visualization strategy. I went from imagining something in the future, even like 6 months plan, mm-hmm. something like that. I'm going to be doing this. And I went from that to believing it was here now. And it was a tremendous, you know, mind jump. To see myself driving the sports car before I bought the sports car, you know, and see myself as, no, that's mine before I own it. That's my thing, you know, and what I was able to do is convince myself that the part that I didn't want, the reality, the current reality was not real. That was the illusion. And what I was imagining was the actual reality, and everything else just appears to be this way. But and you know what? It sounds crazy. It actually probably is some form of insanity. But it works. Oh my God, it works so much. The minute I started doing that one little thing where I visualized my future self in the present tense. So I don't tell people what I would do is I would visualize a calendar entry, for example, and I would say, okay, it's today's date. I would say, okay, what's the date today? You know, it's August right now, the 24th. And, you know, I'd go through these different steps and I would say, okay, well, on today's date, I went into the bank and this is my bank account. Today's date, I did this, I did that. And that changed everything. That's when I saw a bank account just go, because nothing was a hypothetical future anymore. It was the present. And it felt like my mind, my body, the universe, everything was doing everything it could to make whatever I thought was reality real, you know? So that present tense, thinking of it in the present tense instead of the future was what shifted it for me. And I assume there's like a similar thing, like you said, seeing it as reality, relating to that reality.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. I think this has been a fantastic conversation of a positive thinking, man. And we got to do this more.
Definitely. And thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to The Brains Behind It. And remember to check out brainhackers.com for more. If you have a suggestion for the next interview or comment, please email editor@brainhackers.com. If you want a free 30-minute marketing consultation from Dave Farrow and his team, then email editor@brainhackers.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.